Amen. We're turning in God's word to Psalm 139. Let's hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand, and when I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly. Mine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need the help of God tonight. And therefore, let's come before him and seek his face and really earnestly pray that the God would speak to our hearts tonight from his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We realize, Lord, this is a revelation to this world of how we have come into being. And, O Lord, we pray tonight you will write this truth upon every heart. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, created by the hand of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that people will realize that they will stand before God and give an account of the life that they have lived that God has given to them. And should there be one in this gallery not ready to do that, pray, Lord, tonight they'll bow the knee. I pray, O Lord, tonight you will come in all your risen power. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Minister through me, I ask, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. Make me a clean vessel tonight. Infuse me for thy glory. May the word of God prosper. May there be signs following the preaching of thy truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. As I was studying this portion this week, I want to speak upon the subject, life is precious. Life is precious. And I suppose if you wanted a text, it would be an excerpt from verse number 14. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I have to say honestly before God that my heart in studying this in many ways was thrilled. And then when studying it in today's society and doing the research that I had to do for this message, it was also very much grieved. Because I think one thing that we can say about this world today is that they do not really view life as precious. I said to her brother, Robert Bell, for he was speaking at the seniors meeting on Tuesday, I said, you know, you confirmed my message for the Lord's Day evening, and it's wonderful when the Lord does that. And it was a verse that I hadn't really come across before or couldn't recall, but certainly it was a verse he read, and I just knew that was a summary of what I wanted to say in this meeting tonight. And it's Job 33, verse 4, and it says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Folks, I want you to listen to this. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Amnesty International have a statement on their website, and it says, "Our government has a responsibility to deliver abortion rights for women in Northern Ireland. A failure to do so would be a cruel betrayal of woman." The only answer I have to that is the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. There was a woman's rally, a woman's day rally, I should say, on the 9th of March in Belfast. And different abortion groups from across the UK got together, and they gathered there so that women would have the right to terminate their pregnancies and have it legally in law here in Northern Ireland. They said these words, "The law is outdated, ineffective, a conduit for inequality. It is also inhumane, because they haven't the freedom to kill what's living within their body." To that I answer, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Currently in New York State, with other states, including Virginia, trying to be hot on their heels to pass the legislation, legally, a woman even going in to labor in her 39th week, ready within hours to give birth, can legally have her child aborted. And all her states are pushing for the same. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. In Psalm 139, I want to leave with you three simple thoughts about life. Number one, the creation of life. Look with me, please, at verse number 13. And it says, "Thou hast possessed my reins." The word "possessed" literally means, in the original, "created." And you, if you have a pen, you write that into your Bible. "Thou hast created me." God has created. What's the word "reins"? It simply means my mind. God has created your brain. God has created your body. He's created your thoughts. And I'm telling you this, physical life is from the Lord. Now, we know the science behind it. But make no mistake about this. Physical life is from the Lord. The Bible tells us about our bones. And the Lord knows the day of our creation. It's spoken of here. "Thou hast possessed my reins." Thou hast created me. That's the day of our creation. God knows the day of our birth. God knows the day of our death. It's predetermined before this world even was in existence. And then it says, in that verse number 13, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And that word "covered," it means protected. And God protects the little one growing within the womb. And that place, that womb that God in his wisdom has made for the little one to grow until it's fully formed and until it's ready to live outside the womb, that place that God has in his wisdom created, ought to be the safest place on earth for that little baby. And sad to say, for many it isn't. Do you know how tragic this situation is? There is a law in the United Kingdom. It's called the Wildlife and Countryside Act of 1981, and you can read about it on the RSPB website. And it's a law about wild birds. Wild birds. Covers England, Scotland, and Wales. And that's a bird of any species which is resident in or a visitor to the European territory or any member state within Europe. And the birds, their nests, and their eggs are protected by law. And if you take and disturb a nest, or injure or kill a bird, or remove an egg, you can be taken up by the government. There is an unlimited fine and up to 6 months in prison or both for disturbing the egg of a bird. In fact, in 2013 in the Republic of Ireland, there was a man who removed a seagull's nest and eggs and only escaped prison because he promised to pay over 500 euros to a local children's hospital. People can be in prison today for endangering wildlife, and yet there are people marching in the streets that we might be able to murder human life. That's how wrong this country is. It's wicked. Look what verse number 14 says. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully, it means to revere, to fear, to stand in awe. And you know, the problem is in many ways that we feel to realize the wonder of creation and the wonder of the giving of life. You know, creation is an act of God. The giving of life is an act of God. Sadly today, many people, because of their lifestyle, whenever a baby appears in the scene, the next thing it is a problem. It's a burden, it's a nuisance, it's something they don't really want. No, friend, it's actually an act of God. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And friend, the one who carries out the abortion lifts her hand against that which God has created. Wonderfully made is an interesting word. It means to be distinguished, to put a difference in, to set apart. In other words, God has made us as individuals. We look different, we sound different, our vocal cords make different sounds, our voices, we can recognize each other by voice. God has made us distinguished so that we're different one from another in personality and looks and voice and many of those things. Then it says in verse number 15, it says, my substance was not hid from thee. My substance was not hid from thee. The word substance literally means body. My body was not hid from the eyes of the Lord, even in the mother's womb. Now, if you want to see what the baby looks like or its development before its birth in, you go for an ultrasound. And we're told that 8 weeks, an ultrasound will show the head, the body, the arms, the legs, and a heartbeat. 8 weeks. Little ones forming. But you know what? The Lord sees it from conception and views it and looks over it and has an interest in it. Oh yes, the ultrasound is needed to see the baby before birth, but God sees it clearly. And then it says, not only was my substance not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That word, curiously wrought, it actually has the thought of being embroidered and the thought of fine needlework. And the thought here is this, that God forms us and places everything in the exact place. The veins, the nerves, the development of the eyes that will one day focus and perceive, the brain to understand. In other words, the thought here is this, that there's been planning and thought and preparation put into God's design in the creation of you. Friend, life is precious. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. But God has created you intricately. And he's woven within your body all that you need to live and survive and to understand. And God has created you. And yet the world is so cruel today. And the world will throw some people aside and say, you're worthless and you're useless and there's nothing to do. There's no point in having you around. Do you know their parents today? And that's how they treat their children. They're a burden. And they set them in front of a television or in front of an iPad or in front of the internet without any restrictions to expose them to the sin and filth of the world. Why? Because they can't be bothered with them. How sad. And yet that little one, can I just say, God has intricately woven and designed and made, humanly speaking, perfect in body. And the parent will give an account before God of how they dealt with the one that God gave them. It says, verse number 16, thine eyes did see my substance or my body, yet being unperfect. The word literally unperfect means my embryo. The Lord saw that little embryo as it grew and it formed and became so distinguished and then started to kick and then was released into the world. You see, he oversees the growth and the development of the baby. And then it says, in thy books all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned as yet, as when as yet there was none of them. The Lord had it all planned. And friend, not only just the formation of that little body, but the marvelous providence of God. Think about these things. God has everything planned for us. He planned the place of your birth, the place you were born into. Friend, you weren't born in some darkened country that has never heard the gospel. You were born into a land that in reality has probably been more richly blessed than most countries in this world. And its size, the number of blessings we've had, gospel preaching, missions, revivals, God has been merciful to this land. That's the land you were born into. Church in every corner. The period of your birth. Friend, we were born not in the dark ages, not in a time before the Bible was completed and we didn't know about it. We were born in a period where the Bible is translated into our mother tongue, in a time when everyone is allowed to go to school, able to read the Bible for themselves. A time whenever churches are allowed to be opened, the gospel is allowed to be preached. Oh, God has been so merciful to us in the period of time we've been born. The people of your childhood, friend, God's providence has allowed you in your childhood to be surrounded by certain people. And I would say there's not one person in this meeting that can't say, well, I knew at least one Christian in my childhood. Maybe it was a Sunday school. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a grandparent. Whatever it was, but wasn't God so merciful? Friend, the privilege of the gospel. You know the gospel. You've heard the preaching. You've heard the truth. Hasn't God been so good? The creation of life. Friend, where you've been born, the time you've been born, the people among whom you've been born, the gospel you've been exposed to, the body you dwell in, everything is of God. And you know what the psalmist says in the midst of it all as he's describing this so intricately, he says in verse number 14, I will praise thee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this mind. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for every faculty of this body. Lord, thank you for where I've been born. Thank you for everything you've done for me. That's the first thing I want you to notice. Life is precious, the creation of life. But as we think about life being precious, secondly, I want you to look at the observance of life. Because while that little passage from verse 13 down explains to us about the creation of the little embryo in the womb and then right up to birth, we read before that something else, and it is the observance of life. And that observance is actually the observance of God. O Lord, verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Now you get some people, and I suppose they would call themselves a good judge of character. And you get people, and they often say, oh, I can read people, or I have a good sense of character, I have a good sense of that. And unfortunately, sometimes they're so taken up with their great sense of judgment and character that they make misjudgments and they can't really see the person. And I'm sure, like me, you've been misjudged. And people have said, well, I've looked at you and I know you. And friend, whenever they describe what they think they know, you think, I don't know who you're looking at, but it's not me. But God looks at you tonight and he knows you exactly how you are. The word known, it means to understand. Not only does God know you tonight, God understands you tonight. He understands your heart. Verse 2 says, you're down sitting. That means how you live, the habits of your life. You're uprising. That means your accomplishments, the new or the different things that you do in life. Your thoughts, the fleeting thoughts, the thoughts you dwell on. The Lord knows all about them. And as I thought about that, your habits, your one-off actions, your thoughts, the Lord knows all about you. You see, the Lord knows your habitual sins. The sins that you continually sin against him. Some of the sins that you don't even want to break. Some of the sins that you can't break. But not only does the Lord know about the habitual sins in your down sitting, in your uprising, he knows about the new sins. Maybe the one-off sins. Maybe the things that you've done once and you've maybe been burned, thought, well, I'll not do that again, but it's not out of love for God. He knows all about it. And then your thoughts. Thoughts. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. My friend, you're in God's house tonight and your mind might be in the filthiest place in this world. God knows it. God sees it. Maybe your thoughts would never, ever be expressed to your parents. Or to your loved ones, for shame. God knows them tonight. God knows your thoughts. And friend, many people don't do the sinful thing or don't say the filthy words, but you know what? They think them. And they enjoy their sin in the mind. Remember here reading the biography of Johnny Erickson Tata, and she was a quadriplegic, and as a teenager, she had got all well with the Lord, but she dived into a pool and was paralyzed from the neck down. She's still alive today. And she goes around telling her testimony. But at the time when she was in the hospital, there was a period of time when they were trying to see if her spinal cord could be fixed, that she had a lie basically strapped onto this bed for 6 hours facing up to the ceiling, and then the bed was flipped over and she had a lie for 6 hours facing down. And she was angry at God because of what had happened. And she couldn't do anything. She couldn't do anything with her body to sin against God and rebel against God. But she says in her biography that she sinned in her heart and in her mind. And the vilest of sins a man or a woman could commit, she committed them in her mind against God. Some people think, well, if I only think it, it's okay. You know what the Bible says? If you hate your brother in your mind, you're guilty of murder. Now, you haven't lifted the gun and shot him dead. Or you haven't beaten him until the life has left his body. But if you hate, you're guilty of murder. In other words, you're as guilty of the sin you're thinking about as the sin you're committing. And then it says in verse number 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and thou art acquainted with all my ways. Whether I'm sleeping or awake, whether I'm traveling or resting, God knows all about me. Look what it says, verse number 4. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The language of the lips, the words, even the tone of your voice, Lord knows all about it. He knows what the words are before you even speak them. And you know, you could have a tongue that's as wicked as the poison of the snake. Or you could have a tongue that's refreshing as pure, cool water to a thirsty soul. God knows it. As you look at those verses, you'll see very quickly that the thought life and the words and the deeds are all summarized. Your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And friend, God knows every single one tonight. And more than that, not only does he know it, there's a record. There's a record of every thought and word and deed of your life, right from the moment you were conceived till the moment you stand before God. And sinner, I tell you, you'll stand before God, and that list will be before you. That book will be opened, and every word, thought, and deed attributed to your account, God will bring before you. And God will bring you into judgment for it. And I tell you, great will be your judgment, because there's people in lands who have never heard the gospel, had no opportunity to be saved, and you sat in God's house hearing the gospel, hearing how you could be free from your sin, and you spurned it, and great will be your hell. And the psalmist is overwhelmed by this, and maybe you're feeling overwhelmed tonight as you realize God just knows everything about you. Look what he says in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain onto it. In other words, my mind can't take this in. I don't understand how God can know everything in my heart, and then his heart, and then her heart, and then think of all the people in the world. But friend, our finite minds can't understand it. He's the infinite one. There are no restrictions with God. We're the work of his hand. We're created. And he knows all about his creation. And you know what the psalmist stands and realizes? He cannot escape the eye of God. He cannot escape the eye of God. And he asks the question, whither shall I go? Or where shall I flee? And he goes to the extreme parts of the earth. He goes north, south, east, west, up, down. But you know what he finds? He can't outrun God. And there's some people today, and in their foolishness, and they think so little of God, they think, I'll just go my way and hide away from God and do my own thing. Do you know some people think just because they're not in church, God doesn't see them? My way, my secret place, I'll escape from God. I'll go to the pub, I'll escape from God. Go to the nightclub, I'll go to the drug den. I'll go to my own home, close the curtains, get away from God. I'll pack up my belongings, get in an airplane, I'll go relocate. Friend, you can't outrun God. You can't outrun God. You can't outrun God. How does God see your heart tonight? Not your outward appearance. I'm not interested in what you're wearing tonight. I'm asking, how does God see your heart? Believer, whenever we consider God knows all about us, what folly it is to try and pretend before God. Friend, if you're hurt, tell God. If you're disappointed, share it with the Lord. Don't try and pretend before the one who knows it all. If you've been let down by another person, you tell it to God. Believer, do you notice invitation at the end of the psalm in verses 23-24? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's an invitation of the psalmist to God to search his heart. And you know what? That's a solemn thing. But I'll tell you this, Christian, why would I ask the Lord to search my heart and reveal my sin? Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, it's maturity. It's maturity. It shows growth. It shows responsibility. Secondly, it's wisdom. Because if your sin isn't revealed before you and you repent of it, it is going to trap you, and it's going to cause you to fall. It's maturity, it's wisdom, and ultimately it's freedom. Because if you ask the Lord to search your heart and he reveals what's wicked within, and you get it under the blood, friend, then you're free to worship him with all your heart, and then you're free to serve him with a clean heart, and then you're free to go through with God. It's maturity, it's wisdom, it's freedom to pray these things. And at the end of this meeting, when we bow in prayer, I trust and pray that God's people will pray, Lord, search me, O God. But to the unsaved, I'm telling you now, God knows all about you. And he is holy, and he must, and he will punish sin. God sees you, and he knows you. Friend, life is precious. We've thought about the creation of life tonight. We've thought about the observance of life by God. And then finally, let us think about the glory of life. The glory of life. That's verses 17, 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, we know by the language of the psalmist here, well, we know it's the psalmist David, but even if we didn't know who it was writing this psalm, we would know that this person's a Christian. We would know they're saved. Look what it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And then he says, I will praise thee. So we know he's a saved person. And you know, without salvation, you've nothing in this world. Without salvation, you've nothing. And there are many people today have nothing, spiritually speaking, in this world. So what does the Christian have? What is the glory of life? The fullness of life? What is living life to the full? Friends, not the fastest car or the biggest high. It's not the most amount of money or power you can attain. But the glory of life is a life that's in the hands of God. Saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, the glory of life is to know God. That's our purpose in life, to know God. Catechism says the man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God, to worship him. To serve him, to be obedient to him. Friend, this is the fullness of life. Why? Because God has created man to worship him. And you will never be satisfied spiritually or eternally unless you're worshiping God. And you can never worship God unless your sin has been removed because it separates you from God. You glorify God when you worship him, when you serve him, when you obey him. And when you worship and serve and obey God, then you enjoy God. You enjoy God. There's a blessing. He will bless his people. There's peace. We were learning about that this morning. There's a friendship with God. And how wonderful it is to be able to say, I am a friend of God. And folks, that isn't irreverent. That's scriptural. Abraham was a friend of God. Why? Because he was saved by the grace of God. And friend, tonight you're either a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. But not only in salvation do we know God, in salvation we love God. And that is impossible for the unsaved. We cannot love God until the deadness of our sin has been dealt with and spiritual life is given. And that only happens whenever a sinner calls on the Lord for salvation. And we love God because we are his possession. And you'll notice here that this man, the psalmist, is on the Lord's side. Look what he says in verse number 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And you make no mistake about it. When you love God, the enemies of God are also your enemies. Now, we hate their actions. We hate their cause. We hate their purposes. We hate their false religion. But we pray for their soul to be saved. And we love them for Christ. But I'll tell you, you see, whenever you love the Lord, the things that the Lord loves, you'll love the house of God, the word of God, the place of prayer, the people of God. And the things that God hates, friend, you'll hate too. He hates pride, and when you see pride in your heart, you'll hate it. Praise God for that. But we belong to the Lord, and friend, that's our identity. That's the glory of life. And I know there's a world here seeking to have a purpose and a place to belong and a sense of belonging. And you see it, I suppose, in many ways, in starting in childhood, especially in teenage years. And you want to find the place to fit in and the place to belong. And you're standing and you see so many different groups and so many different attitudes and so many different ways of life, and they all seem to be promoting their way and they seem to be happy their way. And for someone in their teens, it can be quite daunting to see, how do I make the right choice that I will make the best of my life and I'll have a life that I'm glad about and I'm joyful in and I love living and I'll not regret. And because people want an identity, sometimes they go to this group or they go to that group or they follow that lifestyle or this lifestyle just to fit in. See, whenever you're saved, here's your identity. I'm a child of God. I'm precious in His sight. That's what the psalmist said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. And friend, if you're a child of God, then you have a purpose. And sad today, the devil is telling people there's no purpose for you in life. There's no point in going on. What's the point? Who would care if you're here or you're not here? And we know about the epidemic, the suicide in our land. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the cry from hell is life isn't precious, it's worthless. Friend, do you see when you go against the gospel and against the word of God, there's anarchy and hell breaks loose. And the devil is telling you, life's worthless. What's the Lord say? You're precious. And I know there's some people who are saying, well, maybe we should let the abortion law pass and then that'll be the end of it. Friend, don't you think like that. Let me tell you what abortion is. It's disregard for a certain type of people. And it's the people who haven't got a voice. And the same thing happened during the Second World War, during the Holocaust. It was a disregard for a certain type of people and their voice was taken away. And the Jewish people were murdered in their millions. And many people stood back. Why? Because it was continually told, they don't matter, they don't matter, they don't matter. And that's what we're being told about the little one within the mother's womb. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Just a few cells, throw it out. And friend, if that law is passed, they'll move on to somebody else. That's the wickedness of hell. And the most vulnerable and society being torn apart limb from limb. Why? Because people believe life isn't precious. The Christian not only knows God, the Christian not only loves God, and when I say they love God because He first loved them. They know He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I say to you tonight, there's many with no identity tonight. There's many with no one to care. But I say to you, Jesus cares tonight. Someone to care. someone to share all my troubles, like no other can do. It's Jesus. And then finally, the glory of life is not only to know God, not only to love God, but to know the Spirit of God in filling and controlling your life. You see, the Lord will give you power to live for Him. A friend, tonight, life and physical life is precious. And you know what the Bible tells me? It tells me the life of the flesh is in the blood. A friend, if you take the blood out of the body, then the life goes out of the body. In fact, President George Washington died on December the 14th, 1799. He had fever, most likely had some type of severe cold or flu. And at that time, the medical practitioners bled the bodies, thinking that the infection was in the blood, and if they drained the blood out, then the infection would come out. And they drained so much of his blood that he actually died from loss of blood. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. But friend, tonight you might be in this meeting and you are alive, obviously, but you're dead spiritually. Dead spiritually. One heartbeat from a lost eternity. An enemy of the Lord, sitting in the rags of your sin. I want to tell you tonight, the life is in the blood. And through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, you can be made alive. There's power in the blood tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. And friend, I tell you tonight, life is precious, but life is limited. Because one day we will die. And friend, maybe you're ready and well equipped to live here for many, many years. But if you do not have everlasting life, eternal life, spiritual life that only God can give, then friend, you face hell for all eternity. No one is accepted before God without the blood. No one will enter heaven without the blood. No one will come through the judgment without the blood. No one can face death without fear, without the blood. But praise God tonight, you can be saved through the blood. I urge you tonight, you pray for our land. You pray for our nation. You pray for the march of wickedness and the loud vocal voice of wickedness in our land. You pray against it. But friend, before you pray against anything, you make sure that your soul's right with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight. Do you know that you need to be saved? Maybe you've lived your life thinking nobody really cares about me. Friend, the Lord cares. How much did He care? He cared so much. He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He gave His blood that you might be saved. And praise God tonight, just a call. Just a call. You can be saved from your sin.